Right now, it is time for the Frickin' Track of Nick and Nack, Tim Luke, and Greg Strom, the Appraisal Guys. Treasure Quest Appraisal Group is their home, and you can find them at tqag.com on the web. Good morning and welcome to December, guys.
Good morning.
Good to be back.
I'm sorry about that. I totally forgot. I was so wrapped up in trying to get... We're just getting new computer system, and I was getting all ready for that, and I was sitting here, and then I thought, I didn't even think that it was Tuesday. I thought it was Monday, so well, my bad.
That's okay. Sorry. So more new Macs for you guys?
Yeah, we traded, because we had them for quite some time, and as I'm sure people are aware, it's what do they call it? Managed obsolescence.
Absolutely.
Where sooner or later they stop supporting certain things, so you have to. You're forced to buy a new one. So
it's both Apple and Windows. They issue a thing. We no longer will support this. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So spend $5,000 and we'll support it for you. A new one.
and they think they need a Genius Bar. They've got it all figured out.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I actually used the Genius Bar for the first time this weekend, and it seemed like a madhouse in there, but it was organized pandemonium. I've never seen anything quite as efficient as that in such a crowd. It looks like a disaster, but it's very organized, and I was very, very happy. So I'm back. I have a new Mac, and I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, speaking about ready to go today, and I wanted to ask you about this, a fine furniture and decorative art signature auction going on with Heritage Auction. Now, is this when they say decorative arts, do they mean things like lamps and things like that?
It can be. It just depends on what the lamps are. It's a perfect example would be the difference between a Tiffany, air quotes, style lamp and a Dirk Van Erp lamp, which is from the Art Nouveau and the next period. And one of them is worth $75, and the Dirk Van Erk is probably worth $20,000. So it's not a difference in the asset as much as it is the difference in the value of the assets.
You know, I'm looking at some of the things they have there, and it ranges from antique furniture from all over the world. Also, like you just said, one thing which every home when I was a kid growing up in, and I do mean every home, had those beautiful tall wall clocks. You know what I'm talking about? They used to be all over the place. You don't see them nowadays in many homes, probably because I don't go in many wealthy people's homes is probably why.
They fell off the walls. They were so heavy.
I like that.
You don't. And sometimes, you know, I mean, I just did an appraisal, I think it was in Pittsburgh, and we came across a couple of them. But it, you know, passed down, got it at an antique shop. But you don't, you know, it's funny. You are correct, Marshall. We don't see them that often. And I don't know if it's just gone out of favor or it doesn't fit with the more modern decor. I mean, I like when you have a little bit of mix within the decor, but some people, you know, they listen to the decorator and it's like, no, it all has to be minimalist. It all has to be this. It all has to be that. The artwork has to match the couch, you know.
Well, it's interesting because timepieces themselves don't lose value. The ones you wear on your wrist and pocket watches and things like that, they seem to hold their value and gain in value.
Yeah. No, and I think it's, well, Yeah, I mean, even pocket watches. I mean, there are still people that collect pocket watches, and those aren't as in. I mean, they're not as in favor. But yeah, that's interesting. You know, I've never thought of that. But yeah, we don't see so much of those wall clocks, and usually it's they're brass or they're bronze, and they're gilded, and they're a lot of ormolu. They're beautiful. You know, they're really beautiful, but. And it could be that it does, I know for some, it depends on the clockwork mechanism, and it could be expensive to keep the upkeep of keeping the mechanism working. I know we have a clock. We don't wind it up because the noise is so loud at night. We can hear it in our bedroom. And you don't hear it during the day, but then when it's really quiet in the house, you just hear this sense of ticking. So, you know, there's a number of different reasons.
All right. Now, this is I love these rags to riches stories. I just love it. And this one I got out of the Independent. A pensioner discovered a diamond, and that diamond was a 34-carat diamond, and they figure it's going to be worth over £2 million. How about that? How about that?
Where did he find this?
In
a drawer,
Northumberland. She came across it in a car boot. That's all I know. But can you imagine that?
Oh,
can you imagine finding something like
no.
that? How life changing!
No, I mean, extremely life changing.
It doesn't get much more life changing than that.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about flea market finds. Yeah. Wow.
£2 million, and that's what? That's close to what? $3 million in American money?
I think it's a little.
I think it's just close to three. No, I think it's what it is with the exchange rate. It's like 2.7 is what they're saying.
You know, and the times where I bring these items up to you, and you always say to me that. When I mentioned the prices before the auction, these are estimates. There's the famous Chanel designer, Carl Langfords. He sold his Rolls Royces $1.33 million, which was way, way, way above what they thought it would be. And these are 2018 and 2019 vehicles.
Right, right. It's crazy. I mean, and it just shows, I mean, desirability. And sometimes those estimates are out there because it's just like, well, we don't have a whole lot. We don't know where this is going to sell. We think, you know, and it may. I mean, it is a marketing tool, but it takes two people. That's all, you know, it just takes two that get that testosterone bidding, and you get these amazing prices.
The interesting fact to me is, okay, so this is a car that was 2018. That's virtually a new car.
Yeah.
You know? And you could go to the dealership and spend far less. But
I guess it's the provenance who owned it, right? Who owned it?
Yeah.
And also,
yeah, it's the provenance.
And this auction opened up on December 2nd with an opulent dinner for 100 guests that included Princess Caroline of Monaco. So they had the right crowd.
Yeah.
And it was in Monte Carlo. I mean, what better place to sell cars like that?
Yeah. I think when you're at that level, you're the type of person who doesn't go into the showroom to buy a new car anyway. you want something really special. So...
Yeah,
and they can afford it.
so now we're in December. Is December a big month for people in auctions?
Oh yeah.
Well, I know just from our experience of being in the industry for as long as we've been, December, it seems as though everyone wants to get done before Christmas. So it's really a good time to have a pre-holiday auction up until the end of, you know, for the end of the year. But it seems as though there's a lot of, I know when Tim worked at Christie's, they every year around this time, actually, like December 5th through like December 14th, somewhere in that area was always a number of really high profile auctions where you know, a lot of Hollywood memorabilia. There's jewelry auctions. The one I remember in particular is when they sold the carriage from a horse of a different color from the Wizard of Oz, and they sold that carriage, which actually belonged to Abraham Lincoln at one point. It had his initials on the carriage. So it's a good time of the year because for some reason it's like they want to get the end of the year taken care of and move on. But there's a lot of good auctions, and I was just looking this morning to see what's out there, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of auctions that are happening between now and the end of the year. So and for in all of the disciplines,
all the different categories.
Now, when I was a salesperson in broadcasting, I had a deal set up where if I sold up to a certain amount, I got a certain percentage of commission. And if I went over that, the commission percentage went up. And if I really busted the door down, I would get a 25% increase in my commissions. I've never asked you this. Are there different commission rates for that apply? And so, I mean, I think most people think that when you see an auction with the percentage that the auction house gets the same. Are there different price structures for different price items and how much the auction house gets and how much the person who's auctioning it off gets?
No, most definitely. So it's the lower the value, the higher the commission. So if it's a $100 item, you may pay 50% commission. If it's a $1,000 item, it may go down to 35%. But then if it's $10,000, $15,000, it may go to 15%. And then if it's over $10,000 or over $100,000, it may go down. So each auction house has a different scale and level of what their commissions are. Some will say it's a flat commission rate up to $100,000, and then anything over $100,000, it cuts in half or something. Most auction houses, if you're dealing with regional houses, will have just one flat buyer's premium. So that's what the buyer pays on top of the hammer price. So that could be 25-30%. But then there are, like Christie's, Sotheby's, and some of the other auction houses that sell higher end items, like into the millions, then there is the more you spend after a certain level, then that's where the commission goes down as well.
Yeah,
it does vary.
Well, obviously it works, but I was just wondering. I was just wondering that. Now, is this a time, Tim? Are you going to be traveling over the course of the next couple of weeks, doing things?
Well, yeah, one more week next week. So I was in Washington D.C. last week where we talked, and now I'm home this week doing some local appraisals, but then go to Chicago next week, which I think next Tuesday I'm on a like 5:45 flight. So I'll be in the air next week, but going to Chicago, we're doing a wrap up with our whole team, and it's kind of the year end. It's the last sales at Heinemann for their auctions, I think are on the 16th, I think is their, is that the 16th? Yeah. I think the 16th is their last sale that they have scheduled for the year. So we'll be there for some of the sales, but then also meetings and seeing new clients and things like that.
And then don't forget the holiday party at Heinemann. Come on now, Tim. That's the only reason you're going.
There is a holiday party. It just happens to coincide with our visit. So let's just say that.
Well, you've opened a door to a very interesting question here. Let's talk a little bit about these holiday parties. Yeah. Are they as opulent as one would think they would be?
No. This is my first with Heinemann, but I And so because they also have regional offices, and the one here in Palm Beach is a pretty big office, I mean, we're getting together for, you know, appetizers and a round of cocktails for an hour. You know, that's pretty much it. But even at Hyman in Chicago, I think it's, you know, it's just a couple of hours. And it's so I'll tell you after the party. I'll tell you after I come back. But I don't think it's as opulent as it's definitely not what we did at, I know, at Christie's in the 90s when we had the holiday party. It was wonderfully catered. You know, there was all, it was an open bar. It was a little crazy. I'll tell you that. It did get a little crazy.
It was packed. I just remember it was the only one that I ever went to. It was my God.
Well, you know, the whole thing's changed. In broadcasting, these parties used to be the greatest things in the world. But then with everything that's happened, both socially and with the Me Too movement and everything like that, these parties are few and far between. They're a lot different than they used to be, the holiday parties.
Correct. Yeah. Well, we're having our own little holiday party. It's just going to be three of us or four of us, two dogs and us. That's going to be our hot, you know, that's our staff. So we're just having a very small, intimate gathering.
Gosh, this sounds like what's going to happen at my house. Actually, I'm outnumbered. That I've got more animals than me, so they control what goes on at the party. All right. Well, so Tim, so will we be able to speak to you next week when you're in the air, or no?
I don't know.
No, yeah,
because it'll just be probably online. Just be me.
I'm on
notice now that I can't forget because I've just said I'm going to be there. So even though my alarm clock will be in the air, I will definitely be there next week.
And I guess it wouldn't be too comfortable doing it from a plane anyways, especially with the mask on.
The mask on, but you know, they do say that they do have Wi-Fi, but they don't allow voice calls. They don't allow like Skype or Zoom or FaceTime or anything like that. So
just texting.
It's just texting. Right. Yep, texts. That's
Well, have a safe trip next week, and don't forget about us, Greg, next week when I ring you up here.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll talk about next week, Greg, what you'll be cooking up for the holiday dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting thing because, you know, we've had to, because of everything that's been going on, we've had to adapt and we've had to change the number of parties that we have because instead of having one big one, we now have broken it up in groups that have no more than 10 people at a time. So it kind of like goes out through the whole month and into January. So, but you know, it doesn't need to be any special day to have a party. So I don't really care. It's fine.
All right, guys. Well, have a good week, and I'll speak to you next week.
Hey, okay.
You too.
Take care.
Bye.
Take care, Marshall.
All right. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack. Of course, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.